Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on kidney disease when we come back. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. Surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity, from bank deposits to medical visits, has produced greater efficiency and security, all right, but it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. And today, the federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files on every American. That's right, 15 files on every American, and that's just the federal government, according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. Closer to home, state and local governments also use computers to keep their own files on us. Now, a study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems. Those systems contained 10,799 categories of information about New York residents. And every one of those systems contained between 2 and 10 million records. Now, all of this information about you is gained from 63 sources, and this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how government, banking, insurance, business, and industry obtains all of this information about you? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? What do they want it for? Well, knowing how information is gathered and what information is stored and what information you want to keep personal and private actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, for more information about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call me at 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package, and let me tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and private as you want to be. Now, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. Just call 417-273-4967 to order yours. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine. Send an email request. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about kidney disease. Dr. Richard Schultz is a naturopath. That's not a regular, everyday, garden variety, ordinary doctor. Naturopath is like a Luke, the disciple, Luke, who wrote the book of Luke. He was a physician, you know. Actually, he wasn't a disciple, but he was an equivalent to it. He wrote one of the Gospels. He was a physician, a naturopathic physician, a guy who attends people and their diseases and healing with herbs and natural remedies. Today, we practice allopathic medicine. That's radical intervention in bodily systems. So we have a choice. You can practice naturopathy or you can practice radical intervention. Now, I personally practice naturopathy. I think that God and herbs and the natural immune system of your body is the best way to keep your body healthy and free of disease. And if it does get diseased, sick, poisoned, or starved, then there's a solution to it, and they're called herbal remedies. And these herbs carry large quantities of vitamins and minerals, large amounts. So when you see a dog get sick, he runs out and starts eating grass. Have you ever seen a dog eat grass? Well, now, grass is not a natural food for dogs. It's not ordinary. Dogs don't run around eating grass as a general rule, but when they get sick, they sure do. Cows do the same thing. Cows eat grass. But when a cow needs something, she goes off into the woods, and if you're watching a cow, she'll take a bite of oak leaves, and she'll take a bite off of another tree, and she'll eat some low-hanging shrubs, and she'll eat acorns. And what she's doing, she's balancing her body's needs for vitamins and minerals. Now, lock a cow up on pasture or lock her up in a feedlot, and that cow gets sick. So we treat these cows with antibiotics, drugs, chemicals, food supplements, and they don't last very long. For instance, I had a cow here one time, died of old age, age 23. She had 21 calves, 23 years old, 21 calves. Never missed. Now, you can make a choice here, and Americans have made their choice for allopathic medicine. A few of us still practice the old guard, the old way, and Dr. Schultz is one of them. So last time I gave you a rundown on his newsletter, which deals with kidney failure or kidney disease, and then he said in the newsletter, he said, peeing is something that you take for granted. 40 million Americans have rotting and diseased kidneys and bladders. 20 million adults pee their pants running home to change their diapers. 300,000 Americans drain their blood with dialysis. Schultz calls them mechanical vampires. So let's take a look at the human urinary system and let's see if Schultz can tell us a little something about this unique and marvelous organ called your kidneys and bladder. Let's see whether or not we can learn something from him. He says, very simply put, the urinary system is comprised of two kidneys, one bladder, and a series of tubes. The kidneys look similar to kidney beans, at least in their shape they do, and also have a similar purple-brown color. They each weigh about 5 ounces, and they're about the same size as the palm of your hand, not including your fingers or thumb. And you have one kidney on each side of your spine. The top of each kidney is about at the 12th thoracic vertebrae, and the bottom being about the 3rd lumbar vertebrae, from your mid to lower back. They're almost completely covered by your lowest back ribs. Now, the inner side, the spinal side of each kidney, has an indentation, the smaller curve of the kidney shape, which is called the hilus or hilum. This is where all the tubes that take blood in and out and urine out of your kidneys connect, and they go into the kidney, these being the renal. Renals is Latin for kidney. It's called the renal artery and the renal vein and the ureter. Now, the renal artery brings blood to the kidney to be filtered and cleaned. This renal vein returns clean blood to your body, and the waste liquid is called urine. It leaves the kidney by way of the ureter. Both the ureters from each kidney connect to the bladder. As with all metabolic processes of the human body, this process of blood filtering and urine formation is also very intricate, very detailed, extremely complex, and similar to when I talked about the liver. You can see my book, Healing Liver, Gallbladder Disease Naturally. In other words, beyond mankind's comprehension, knowing that in advance, I'll simply simplify this process so that you have a basic understanding of what the kidneys do and how they do it. Each kidney is divided into between 8 and 18 wedge-shaped chambers called renal pyramids. Each of these renal pyramids contains the many parts of the kidney required to filter the blood. The outside of each renal pyramid is called the renal cortex. Cortex is a Latin word for rind or outer edge. And the inside, closest to the hilus or smaller curve of the kidney, is called the renal medulla. Medulla is Latin for inner or center. Now, the renal artery branches off inside the kidney to form numerous smaller arteries which enter the outer portion of the kidney, the renal cortex. A very small renal artery branch eventually enters one of the many nephrons. Now that you know the Latin for kidney, renalis, hence renal, nephros is Greek for kidney. These nephrons are the individual small filtering units in your kidney, and it's believed that each kidney contains about 1 million of these nephrons. Inside each nephron is a renal corpuscle and a renal tubule. That renal corpuscle is made up of a capillary network called a glomerulus, enclosed in a Bowman's capsule. The renal tubule extends from the Bowman's capsule by way of the proximal convoluted tubule and the loop of Henle, the distal convoluted tubule and the collecting tubule, which is all of which are surrounded and wrapped by paratubular capillaries. Note, these capillaries, from the Latin capillaris, meaning hair-like, are the smallest of the blood vessels or tubes, averaging about 0.008 millimeters in diameter, which connected the very ends of the smallest arteries to the beginnings of the smallest veins. Eventually, this filtered blood and the waste urine enters into collecting tubules and then eventually the papillary ducts, which are in the renal medulla, or the inner or center portion of the kidney. And these papillary ducts eventually empty into the ureter, through which the urine leaves the kidney. Now, I know that for those of you who just want to do my kidney, bladder, flush, drink, and herbal tonics, this is not only anatomical overload, but it's downright unappetizing. But hang in there for a minute. Just hang in there with me for a couple of more minutes, and it'll begin to make more sense. It is the kidney's job to filter blood plasma and then return the good blood, the clean blood, to your body, and then create urine to carry the waste out of your body. It's your body's sewer system. Now, while many know that most cars have water-cooled engines, the human kidney is a water-run waste removal system, and much of the water that you consume is necessary to clean your blood and to flush the waste material out of your body by way of your kidneys. These kidneys also regulate the water, electrolyte, and acid-alkaline balance of your blood, and they are indirectly connected to all of your body fluids, 32 body fluids. So here's how it all works. The blood enters your kidneys in the inner indented section called the hilus, closest to the spine, by way of the renal artery. Inside of your kidney, this artery divides down into many other smaller arteries that enter one of the pyramid-shaped separate kidney chambers. Remember, these are the renal pyramids. And then it branches down into even smaller arteries in the renal cortex. Now, one of these small arteries enters a very microscopic sac. Remember those nephrons? Which is an individual filtering unit, of which there's about 1 million of these individual filtering units. As blood passes inside the nephron into the renal corpuscle through this glomerulus and a Bowman capsule, water and dissolved substances and small bits are filtered out of the blood. But big things like blood cells and large proteins are retained in the capillaries and your blood. And as the water and dissolved substances that were filtered out of the blood, which is now called glomerular filtrate, we could call this pre-urine. It passes through the renal tubules, the proximal convoluted tubule, the loop of Henle, the distal convoluted tubule and the collecting tubule, and it moves into the other area of the kidney called the renal medulla. Here, the urine goes into the papillary ducts and eventually leaves the kidneys through the ureter. Now, useful materials such as water, glucose, amino acids, vitamins and minerals are reabsorbed into the blood by way of the small capillaries. This reabsorbing is monitored and limited by your body. This reabsorbing of the nutrients is stopped if you have too much of a nutrient already, and the reabsorbing of water is regulated by hormones. Your kidneys are the organ mainly responsible for not only the filtering of your blood, but they also regulate the physical properties and the composition of your blood by monitoring the acid-alkaline balance. So what is left in the remaining liquid that is now called urine is about 95% water and 5% dissolved substances. These dissolved substances are minerals, especially sodium, nitrogenous waste products like urea, uric acid, creatinine, ammonia, chlorides, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, and many other substances like blood pus, bacteria, parasites, and all depending on the disease or health level of the person. Now, the urine leaves each kidney by way of the ureter, and both right and left kidney ureters connect to the bladder separately. And on the corresponding side, the bladder is a general term from the Anglo-Saxon blidri, meaning a sac or receptacle for a secretion, like the gall bladder. Now, the urinary bladder, then, of course, is the muscular receptacle for urine, and without it, your urine would just constantly run out of your body. The bladder is in the lower front of your pelvic cavity. In women, it is in front of the vagina, and in men, in front of the rectum. The bladder has a normal storage capacity of about 1 quart. When the bladder fills, it stretches. This stretching initiates nerve impulses to your spinal cord. When you want to urinate, returning motor nerve impulses simultaneously cause contraction of the bladder and relaxation of the bladder and the sphincter muscle. This process can be stopped temporarily by the voluntary contraction of the external urethral sphincter muscle. Now, at the very bottom of your bladder is called the urethra. That's a tube that the urine passes through to leave your body. On a man, this tube passes through the center of the prostate, that's your prostate gland, and out through the center of your penis and out of the end. It is also used for the passage of semen. This is why when a man has a swollen prostate due to sexual function or disease, it squeezes off the urethra, making voiding urine very difficult or impossible. In a woman, this urethra leaves the bladder, and the orifice where the urine is voided is in the vestibule between the vagina and the clitoris. Okay, enough is enough. I just wanted to inform you so that you'd know a few of the details. And these details can not only help you understand your illness, and if you have kidney disease, but also it should help you to understand when I explain my kidney and bladder cleansing, detoxification, and healing programs. So let's go back at this juncture of time to house calls. Now, house calls is the section of the newsletter where people have over the years written in or called and said, gee, I got this problem. Can you give me an answer to it? And so last time we answered 3 or 4 of these house call letters. Each one of these letters tells us a little bit more about what it is that's causing you the discomfort or the disease that you're suffering from. Remember, 40 million Americans, about 14% of us, are suffering from some form or some stage of bladder or kidney disease. And as it progresses, it gets to a point where your kidneys shut down and you die. Now, of course, Marcus Welby, MD, down at Mercy Medical Center, can sell you forgiveness of sin by use of the mechanical vampire. This is called dialysis and can keep you alive for a number of years or until your money or insurance run out. And then, of course, there's nothing more that medical science can do for you or to you without money. House calls. This one's from a reader who says, I started doing dialysis 2 years ago when my first kidney quit. And now the second kidney has given out. And I see now that the doctors, even if they think that they're helping, are not helping me at all. And I'm tired of the dialysis. But now that both of my kidneys have stopped functioning, what choice do I have? Is there any way that I can recover now? Well, Dr. Schultz answers the question this way. He says, well, first off, I'm always impressed when people don't seem to get it when their first kidney quits. Now, you would think that that would be a wake-up call, but for many, it isn't. And this person let the second one quit also, and now they're on dialysis, which means they have their blood drained entirely out of their body 2 or 3 times a week, and they have it filtered, and then chemicals are dumped into it. Well, the first thing I want to tell this person is that any function that your body turns off, your body can turn back on or turn around and then turn it back on. A kidney that stops working, you can get that kidney to work again. Now, 2 kidneys that stop working, you can get them both to start working again. But for a person like this who's on dialysis, you do my incurables program. Now, I have to let you know that I'm not just talking theory here. At every meeting or of every symposium that I put on, I can remember someone tells me that they got off of dialysis and they got their kidneys working again. At every one of these crusades, someone has said that. Someone has told me that they have restarted their kidneys. So it's not impossible. And also in my clinic, I've had many patients that I can remember that were just starting on dialysis. Their kidneys were failing, and they turned it around. Now, it's easier, of course, to turn it around when your kidneys are just beginning to fail. Now, this person should do my incurables program first. Part of the incurables is the entire kidney bladder routine. So they will find that they'll be doing the kidney bladder routine every other week. And every other week they'll be doing the liver and gallbladder routine. Never give up on yourself. And never give up on a failed organ. Create your greatest healing environment and your body will heal itself. Your body has the capacity to heal itself. It's built in and designed that way by God Himself. And you do that by turning these organs back on. Now, I always say, stop doing what you did that made you sick. And then start doing what it is that you need to do to heal the organ. In this case, specifically, stop doing what you did that made your kidneys stop working. And start doing what's going to turn your kidneys back on again. And get them to working. And get them healed. And to get them strong. I'm going to pause here because in the newsletter, he doesn't tell you what it is that you do. He has a book on kidneys. He has a book on liver. Schultz has written a number of books. So did, I've got the tapes and I've got several of the books that Dr. Christopher wrote. This isn't the only guy. You know, if this was the only guy in the world that said, I can turn your kidneys back on, I'd say, well, that sounds like a lot of hype. Dr. Christopher said the same thing. Schultz tells us the same thing. Naturopaths, as a general rule, any naturopath, let me say that again, any naturopath can probably steer you on to the healing herbs and the technique that you need to start your kidneys to working again. Now, it is true that in some cases they'll never start. They've shut down, and they're probably never going to work. I suppose if you've been on kidney dialysis for 5 years or 10 years, and your kidneys have atrophied away, maybe they'll never start. So let's go back to some of you who are starting to suffer kidney failure. You know, the earlier you get started, I mean, your kidneys, your body, you can only put so much poison through there, boys and girls. You can only take so much arsenic into your body until something shuts down. And at some point in time, you're going to get beyond the point of no return. At some point in time, you're going to get to a point where, yeah, you're right, nothing's going to help. Now, one of the things that causes kidney failure is Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, soda pops. And it's not the soda pop per se, it's the sugar, refined sugar in the soda pop. It not only causes kidney failure, it also causes other diseases like diabetes. I think I've mentioned this to you a time or two before. Over the past 20 years, the consumption of soda pop in the United States has doubled. And coincidentally, at the same period of time over the past 20 years, the incidence of diabetes has doubled. So I thought, gee, let me step out onto a wild march limb and let me say, I think that over the next 20 years, if we can double soda pop consumption again, I think we can double diabetes again. So if that's our goal in life, let's drink more pop. Now, if that isn't our goal in life, then maybe we should drink a little less. I had a guy in class one time, we're talking about adultery, and he says, well, I like to go down to Flo's, you know, once a week. Would God be satisfied with me if I just went to Flo's, oh, once a month, and just kind of tapered off slowly? And I said, well, that's a step in the right direction. You know, we can't deny that. I'm not sure that that's satisfactory. So if you're drinking, and I've had students come in here, they will drink a six-pack of soda pop during the course of one class day. Now, that's 6 times 12. I mean, that's 72 ounces of soda pop. Now, that's about 72 teaspoons of sugar in a day. Not only are these people generally overweight, I can't think of any skinny person that I've ever seen drinking soda pop. Now, there may be one or two out there, but as a general rule, people that are drinking that much are giving themselves diabetes and kidney failure. They don't know that, of course. They think that's good for them. And these very same people maybe go to church and wouldn't think about drinking a beer. Let me tell you, you'd be 10 times better off drinking the beer and getting off the soda pop. But, you know, teach his own. I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success. If you don't like Schultz, just go to any naturopath. Any. Let me write that down. A-N-Y. Any naturopath. I've never met a naturopath that couldn't cure kidney failure. House calls. I've got a question from a reader who says, I was diagnosed with diabetes several years ago. And even though I've managed to stay off of insulin, it's been a constant struggle. Recently, I went to my doctor for a checkup, and she told me that the diabetes had begun to damage my kidneys, and that in the long run, my kidneys would be much better off if I took insulin. So in a way, what she says makes sense, but it just doesn't feel right. What do you think I should do? Let me pause right here and make an observation. Here's a person writing a letter to a doctor. And this lady, I guess it's a lady, is making quite an admission here. She is saying, in effect, I am medically incompetent. I am unable to manage my medical affairs. That's why we go to doctors. Doctors then have our power of attorney. Doctors then give us advice, and they tell us that, well, we should give you a transplant, or we should cut this out, or we should do this or that or something else. What do you think would happen if you could teach yourself to be medically competent? What if you could educate yourself so that you were as smart as or smarter than your family doctor? Gosh, then you wouldn't have to go to him for advice, would you? I know it's a wild stat, but think about it for a minute. Well, Schultz says this. He says, well, let me tell you a few things. First of all, you say you've managed to stay off of insulin, but it's been a constant struggle. Then obviously, you're not following my program, because my program should be a constant celebration, not a struggle. So it sounds like you've been torturing yourself. So the first thing that I would suggest is to get on my Incurables program and make sure that you love every bit, every little bit about it, and make sure that everything that you do with a smile on your face. Now, I can visualize you with a whining, complaining frown, struggling through something. Now, if you were my patient, I'd kick your ass all the way across the room. So we won't be struggling on my program. We will be celebrating every breath and everything that you put in your mouth. And you'll be savoring the herbal tonics like they're the finest French wines. Now, you say recently that your diabetes is beginning to damage your kidneys. Well, of course it will. Diabetes will destroy your kidneys. And then you say, in the long run, your kidneys would be better off if you took insulin. No. 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 In the short run, they'd be better off, because if you take insulin, two things are going to happen in the long run. Now, in the short run, your kidneys might be slightly relieved because your blood sugar is regulated. But in the long run, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to kill your pancreas. Because the minute your pancreas detects that you're taking insulin, it will forever quit making insulin for you. So now you're addicted to the insulin. And in the long run, anybody who is diabetic and on insulin knows that in the long run, their kidneys got destroyed anyway. So your kidneys are going to be destroyed following the medical protocol no matter what you do. So my suggestion then would be to get off your lazy ass and create a lifestyle that is so damn healthy that your pancreas starts working again and you get rid of your diabetes. Not struggling, not managing, not trying to cope with it, but heal yourself. Thousands of people have healed themselves of diabetes with my program. And yes, type 1 and type 2. I've seen hundreds of them in my clinic. I see them in my crusades. They're on my videos. So stop struggling and stop suffering, and let's get to celebrating and let's get to healing yourself. And below is a letter from a recent customer that did just that. In the letter he says, Dear Dr. Schultz, he says, I've been eating as a vegan for almost a year now, and in that time I have lost 60 pounds. I was a type 2 diabetic with my blood sugar out of control, even on two types of oral medications. I had highs too high and lows too low, and I was feeling awful until I heard about your program for Incurables through my new sweetheart. He showed me your videos, and we listened to your audio tapes, too. I was reading everything that I could get my hands on in regard to natural healing. I started to feel so much energy after doing a cleansing fast and getting to drink pure distilled water and eat healthy organic foods and juices. I am now happy to report that I no longer need pills, and I eat a very healthy diet. I exercise. I think good thoughts. I love my sweetheart so much that I feel like I'm alive again. I recently had my checkup at the doctor's, and he was amazed that I looked good and I was so healthy. Yes, I thank my lucky stars that I had found out about all of this through my honey. And I'm glad to say to you, Dr. Schultz, that you are awesome. I'll be 50 this year, and I feel better than I ever have in my life. Now, I never have had diabetes. I've had a few family members that had diabetes. One of the observations that I have made of my family members that ultimately developed diabetes was that they drank soda pop. I drank soda pop. For years, I drank soda pop. And one day, when I read the story on soda pop, hell, I smoked cigarettes for 9 years. Then one day, I read a story on cigarettes and health, and I quit smoking and I quit drinking soda pop. I'm 65. I can outwork almost, well, I wouldn't say almost, but most of you students that come here to this school, I can outwork most of you in your 30s. And I'm an old man already. I don't wear glasses. I don't have a hearing aid. I'm not sick. And I'm not a vegan either. Now, my wife had cancer back in 1978. Now, the reason that Schultz is pushing this vegan diet over here is because meat, when you're sick, takes 75% of your body's energy to digest it. And your body needs to heal itself. So the meat acts as a poison. That's number one. I don't want to put words in Schultz's mouth because I know he's a vegan. And I know he's a vegetarian. So I want to tell you, it's not meat that causes your body's problems. It's unclean meat. If you'd have listened to God to start with, and you hadn't eaten unclean meat, you know, Jimmy Dean's pure pork sausage, and all those shrimps, and all that hamburger with 30% fat in it, you probably wouldn't be sick. But that doesn't mean that the clean meats that come off these feedlots is fit to eat either. I wouldn't eat meat out of a supermarket. I wouldn't feed meat out of a supermarket to my dog for crying out loud. Well, unless I wanted to kill him. Now, it may be beef and it may be cleaned meat, but that stuff that comes off of the feedlots is not clean meat. That stuff is filled with disease. Now, if you want to eat meat, you got to eat clean meat. I mean meat that doesn't have steroids and stilbestrol and penicillin and all these antibiotics and chemicals and dyes and sprays and chemicals in it. God, no wonder we're dying. So if you're sick, you're going to have to get off of meat. My wife got off of it for 2 years and 8 months. My wife eats meat today. She had cancer 28 years ago. She's still on cancer therapy. And will be for the rest of her life. But she doesn't eat unclean meat. And she's as healthy as a horse also. All right, let's take a look at another house call. But before we get to that, let me give you a reminder. Now, the Law Hour, an editorial review, brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events. And we do it from the scriptural perspective 7 days a week. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to the authors and publications used on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, newsletters to our listeners. The endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications so endorsed or recommended are going to reciprocate. I mean, you could write a letter here to Dr. Schultz and you may say, Gordon, why that guy is a creep. I don't know that he will or won't. I'm just pointing out that just because I endorse Schultz doesn't mean Schultz is going to endorse me. And that's because most of the authors and the publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, or they're religious, or they're economic, or maybe they're sectarian, racial, or maybe they're ethnic partisans, whose viewpoint is not endorsed by the Law Hour, nor editorial review, or who may not endorse the viewpoint of the Law Hour and editorial review. Well, it can be both ways. So I don't endorse everything that everybody believes, and they don't endorse everything that I believe. All right, so with that little caveat, let me tell you one more part of the story here. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide on the Internet. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free introductory CD package. To order yours, just go to the law school phone. That's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or you can go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. All right, we're talking about Dr. Schultz. Let me give you his name and number. Dr. Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-Z-E-S. Dr. Schultz. He's got a telephone. It's 1-800-HERB-DOC. It's an easy one. 1-800-H-E-R-B-D-O-C. They also have a store down in Marina Del Rey, California, located at 4114 Glencoe Avenue. Marina Del Rey, California, retail store, 4114 Glencoe Avenue. Now, he puts out a free newsletter. That's what I'm reading from. And you can subscribe. All you got to do is call him up, 1-800-HERB-DOC, and say, hey, Doc, put me on your newsletter. Here's another neat thing. You don't have to buy anything from Schultz. If you think this is some kind of a come-on, why? Just write Schultz out of the equation and go find a naturopath in your own community. There'll be one. Well, if they haven't got him locked up in jail, you'll find one in your local community. They do everything they can to lock these guys up. And if this guy hasn't been locked up at least once, don't go to him. You know, when you find a naturopath, you ask him, have you gone to jail yet? If he says, no, I haven't, that guy's no good. Almost all these guys have been locked up for practicing medicine without a license or for doing something. But then you want to remember that Jesus and his disciples had all been locked up in jail or hung or killed or persecuted, weren't they? That's why I always say, if you've got a preacher over here that hasn't been locked up in jail, he's no good. A preacher that hasn't been locked up in jail and hasn't been persecuted isn't worth the powder it takes to blow him to hell. And neither would a naturopath. Schultz is okay. Schultz has been locked up a time or two. And so you know this guy has gone through his baptism by fire. And anybody that cures cancer or cures disease without drugs, without medicines, and does it naturally is going to get locked up. And that's just where reality's at, so make up your mind to it. House calls. Here's another one. He says, I've got a question here from a man who asks, I have a kidney stone lodged way down in my urethra. Will your kidney flesh dissolve it, or does it only dissolve them before they begin to pass? Schultz. No. My 5-day kidney bladder cleansing and detoxification program, which includes my kidney bladder tonic, kidney bladder tea, and with my detox formula, along with my kidney bladder flush drink, and also my kidney stone dissolving program, will dissolve any stone. Did you hear that, boys and girls? It'll dissolve any stone, whether it's in your kidneys or in your bladder or stuck in your urethra. And if it's really stuck in your urethra, I know that no pain in life seems to come close to the pain of a kidney stone stuck in your urethra. So don't be afraid to use my nerve formula, which will reduce the pain and then keep you relaxed. But also the lobelia in that nerve formula, and also my lobelia formula that you can take in addition to that nerve formula, is an antispasmodic. And that will keep your urethra and your body from continually having spasms when the stone is in there. But you need to do my kidney stone dissolving routine repeatedly until you have no stones in your kidneys, your urethra, or anywhere. And get to work. Now, why don't we think a little bit in advance? People get kidney stones, don't they? People get worms, don't they? Now, I told you this last time, worms, that is, intestinal parasites come from the meat you eat. You go to the store and you buy some beefsteak and you take it home and you cook it. It's got worms in it. And when you eat it, these worms, they can be tapeworms, they can be pinworms, I don't know, there's many, many varieties of worms. I'm going to say hundreds. I don't know if it's hundreds or 50s or tens, but there's a bunch of them. Now, my granny, when I was a little kid, This is old folk medicine. Now, my old granny used to worm me. She wormed everybody in the family. I mean, my old granny, she'd get after you with that worm medicine. God, that stuff, I'm telling you, if there was anything God ever made that tasted as bad as worm medicine, well, he kept it for himself. God, my old granny would get after me with that teaspoon and I'd run. Well, about three or four times a year now, she'd get after me and she'd worm me. She'd worm old granddad and she'd worm anybody that got in the house. And she was strong on that. Well, all of the old ladies were. Hell, Mrs. Birchfield would worm everybody in her family. Mrs. Johnson, she's worming everybody. Everybody knew that you had intestinal parasites and it would impair your body function and make you sick. Well, today nobody wants to do that. Now, let's think about these kidney stones. You know, kidney stones are pretty common today because of our refined diets. Refined diets. High sugar, high fat. Refined flours. Hydrogenated oils. And it causes kidney stones. Why don't you get on a kidney stone dissolving program and once a year, every year, whether you've got kidney stones or not, whether you have symptoms or not, whether your kidneys hurt or not, and take the kidney stone flush so that you don't develop kidney stones. That's why we worm people two or three times a year, so that you get rid of the worms. You don't have worms all the time. You get rid of the gallstones. You get rid of the kidney stones. I mean, that's just my common sense speaking. That's what I do. Hell, I don't have kidney stones. I don't let them form. I take the flushes every now and again. And I suppose if I do that for the next 20 years, I mean, why wait until your kidney shuts down before you take action? Why wait until you've got kidney stones? People will call here to law school. And they'll tell my wife, "Oh God, I'm in great pain," or "Old Bob's in great pain. He can't pass the kidney stones," and he and old Schultz is right. He said, "Evidently, it must hurt like hell." And so my wife has a cure. She said, "Well, you take this guy's penis and you put it up on the table. You know, when somebody's got kidney stones and he's having a hard time passing them, you take his penis, you put it up on the table, and then you take." You take a framing hammer and you beat on that penis until you break the stones up and then they'll pass easier. Now, that's my wife's cure. Now, Schultz has got a wimpy cure, and you take this tea, you take these herbs like vinegar, you know, and acid. Can you imagine what would happen to kidney stones if you drank vinegar, or if you put vinegar on your Brussels sprouts and broccoli? I always wanted to write George Bush Sr. a letter and tell him, hell, anybody can eat broccoli if you put enough vinegar on it to kill the taste. I can even eat Brussels sprouts with vinegar on it. And I was reading in some literature somewhere, said, you know, that those kidney stones develop because you have a lack of acid running through your kidneys. So I like to eat a little vinegar every once in a while. And you know, people that eat foods like sauerkraut and kimchi and vinegar, they don't get kidney stones. Isn't that just special? So here again, you know, what you eat makes a difference in how you feel and how your body works. I'm just telling you from my experience, I'm not a doctor. But you know, I'm 65 and I'm still in good health. I'm not complaining about life. I'm not complaining to God about, "Oh, Jesus, won't you help me? Won't you heal me today?" I think Schultz hit the nail on the head here on this first page here. He said, "Quit blaming everybody. What destroys your kidneys and bladder is you. You're doing it to yourself." Now, you may be doing it to yourself ignorantly and you didn't know what it is that you need to do. So why don't you subscribe to Schultz's newsletter? Hell, it don't cost anything. And, you know, just look at it and say, well, I don't know, maybe that would be of some value to me. The stuff in here isn't very expensive. You know, you spend $9,000 a year on health insurance. if you spent $1,000 a year on Schultz, you couldn't eat all that stuff. You couldn't eat $1,000 worth of stuff out of Schultz's catalog. Now you spend $9,000 on health insurance and don't bat an eyeball. And then on top of that, you get sick. The insurance doesn't keep you from getting kidney stones. It just pays for the doctor's boat payments and his airplane payments when he comes and cuts them out. I say to hell with the doctor's airplane and boat payments and start thinking about yourself for a change. I know it's a wild new idea, but here's Schultz's kidney stone dissolving routine. This routine takes 2 days and it can be repeated. Take a gallon jug and fill it with 2.5 quarts, 80 ounces of fresh, squeezed organic apple juice. Let me pause right there. Did you hear the words fresh, squeezed organic apple juice? That doesn't mean anything that comes out of Kroger's or Safeway. They don't have any of that there. You can't get that at the supermarket. I don't know how many times that people have told me, well, I don't know, it didn't work for me. I went down, got some apple juice, and I still got the same problem. Fools, blind, nitwits. All of that crap in the supermarket's been pasteurized. There are no enzymes in it. It's dead. There's nothing living left. Listen, boys and girls, you have to have live food to heal your body. Live! I know, it's crazy. It doesn't fit with the space program. And that's why Americans are so damn sick, because they eat dead food. Now listen to what he's telling you here. You gotta have fresh, squeezed, organic apple juice. So the only place you're gonna find that's gonna be at the health food store. And you're going to pay an arm and a leg to get it. Now, it just happens here, we got Head's Orchard. We can go up to Head's Orchard and we can tell them, I want organic apple juice, and I want it fresh squeezed, and I don't want it pasteurized. And they'll have to sell it to you under the table. It's like buying marijuana. I mean, to get unpasteurized, fresh squeezed apple juice, you got to sneak around like buying crack. Hell, you might even have to go down to your local drug dealer on the corner and have him get it for you. And he will, too. You tell him what you want. He's an entrepreneur. He'll go out and get that for you. So it's got to be fresh squeezed, organic apple juice with real live enzymes in it. I know it's crazy, but that's what the formula calls for. Then you use some strong apples that have a lot of organic malic acid that make you pucker. These are Granny Smith green apples. Not that Red Rome crap. I'm talking about apples that are so bitter, so nasty, that you normal people can't eat those. Those are the only ones I eat. And then, not some tasteless, politically correct, delicious apples that have little or no nutritional or medicinal benefit at all. You got to stay away from these politically correct apples. All right. Then add 20 ounces of fresh squeezed organic citrus juice. That's lemon and lime. Half and half is best. Then add 10 ounces of organic raw unfiltered apple cider vinegar. Did you hear what I told you? Unfiltered apple cider vinegar. I don't think you can get any of that at Kroger's or Safeway. I don't believe it. Now, I got about 50 gallons of apple cider vinegar out here the other day, and it's organic, and you got to pay a little more for it. That's true. You got to pay a little more for it. Now, remember I told you I put vinegar on my vegetables? And that way I keep a lot of vinegar going through my kidneys. I don't have any kidney stones. The acid dissolves them. And do you see what's happening here? You see this Schultz formula? You're taking apple juice. You're taking vinegar. You're taking limes and lemons. High acid foods. take these high acid foods. Then add one entire bottle of my kidney bladder formula and two entire packages of my kidney bladder tea. Then let this mixture steep in a warm place for a whole day, shaking every couple of hours for a minute or two. Now, if you have a real serious stone problem, you add a few additional ounces of hydrangea root and a few more ounces of gravel root to this brew. Now, to make this formula stronger, you mix all of the ingredients in a blender. This will break down and smash all of the herbs. Now, let this sit for 24 hours and then strain through a stainless steel strainer or squeeze through a clean cotton t-shirt. The strained formula must now be kept in the refrigerator until it's all consumed. Now, the next day after it has brewed, you drink 4 ounces every hour of the liquid, and you can even drink an ounce every 15 minutes, considering that you sleep 8 hours and you're up for 16. If you drink 4 ounces every hour that you're awake, you'll consume a total of 64 ounces each day, which means this brew will last you almost 2 days. And you'll also be drinking some distilled water, up to 64 ounces a day. Only distilled water. Have you got that? Don't touch the kitchen faucet. Distilled water. You got to go. You can get that down at Kroger's. They'll have some distilled water in there. It's not for human consumption. It's just for putting in your iron. And that's all right. If it's distilled, you can drink it. So you get a gallon of distilled water. Only distilled water. The emptiest water is allowed. Distilled water is so empty, it is like a vacuum. It is the universal solvent, especially for unwanted mineral deposits. Just by drinking distilled water on a regular basis, you will dissolve your stones, and you will prevent new ones from forming. But when added to this routine, you'll have a real winner. All right, follow that? Now, here's the kidney stone dissolving formula. You want to write this down again? I mean, this comes in this guy's newsletter. You don't have to buy anything from Schultz. Now, I told you last time, I'm kind of lazy, so I go ahead and buy it from him because it's easier, faster, and simpler. 80 ounces of organic fresh-squeezed apple juice, 10 ounces of organic fresh-squeezed lemon juice, 10 ounces of organic fresh-squeezed lime juice, 10 ounces of organic raw unfiltered apple cider vinegar, 1 2-ounce bottle of kidney bladder formula, 2 4-ounce bags of kidney bladder herbal tea. Mix it all up. Steep it for a day. Put it in the refrigerator and drink an ounce every 15 minutes. And that'll dissolve your kidney stones. And then when you get the damn things dissolved, don't let them form again. Why don't you do that a couple of times a year, and you'll never have kidney stones again? There's an old adage my granny used to say, you know, a stitch in time saves 9. Hey, I'm about out of time. I've got to leave it right here. Remember that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. And they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or of this radio station. But they should. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call the school direct, 417-273-4967. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to the website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, there's my signal. It says time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.